WFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
What?
A Cow Media station.
Are we on air?
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Nick, and Barry, two in the books, one to go.
I would say it's a pretty good show, because I didn't realize, and I don't think you did either, that we've already got 2 hours behind us.
Yeah.
Which is good.
I had no idea.
The beauty is the fact that our A-listers do come to our defense rather quickly around here.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, Zach Pounds said, Facebook Live your show, Antonio Brown can record it. He has the practice to do so. Yeah, see, that's the difference, is we're not in our locker room. Now, if we were to Facebook Live our pre-show meetings, it might be ugly. Because we're all over this place.
Where and when and yeah. And, I mean,
well, yeah, and we're all over the place and we look disorganized. Not that that changes once we get on air, but
people don't understand how awkward it is to have it in that room. There's so many other people with so many other things going around. We need to pull that out of that room and go like somewhere else.
Yeah, a couple of people are chiming in regards to Easy. Richard said, Easy about to get that card pulled. Come around talking that trash.
Yep.
Juggalo Trey said, Easy asked his dad if he was adopted. His dad responded with, not yet, son. We haven't found anyone that wants you.
Which I think is phenomenal.
That is cold-blooded, man. You guys are killers. Bleep Easy, how about that? Cash me outside. Easy is dead wrong. That was from All Texting, No Tweeting. Checking in. I was going to say we hadn't seen him today. Haters going to hate. There you go.
Yep.
I figured that's about, you know, I mean, this is about right.
It
we
is.
Get all the text. I always read the hate text. What's wrong with a hate call every once in a while? Not that I want you guys calling in trolling. Don't
but I think
do
we're
that.
Pretty fair and there. Transparent.
We
about
are.
It was all fun and games, and then you just opened the door.
No,
to
I
a
won't.
Whole
no
boatload.
Well, we got the dump button. So, and then Martin said, "Don't listen, guys."
How'd that
great
work
show.
Out?
Yeah. Well, we got a dump button, but we got a slow ass producer. That
I know. I was like, "Dang it!"
It's all right.
The beauty of that.
Listen,
is-
we've always been transparent. We have always read our hate and our
Thanks
love.
Thanks to you, we have.
Equally.
You're right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
You
forced me to turn over a new leaf. There's no doubt about that.
But I read my hate too.
Yeah, I read my own hate as well.
The problem is, I know when mine's
Embrace
coming
it.
Because of the way you react.
When I start giggling with this snaggle
post laugh.
Well, you got this little creepy smile to your face. You know, you're like,
hey, man.
When I hear the snaggle puss coming, I know following that is going to be a dart thrown right at my head by someone in the 409.
I laugh when my hate comes in, too.
Not really.
Yeah, I do. I laugh.
You may chuckle a little bit.
I do.
You do more of the Barney Rubble for yours.
Do I?
But when mine come,
I don't laugh like that, Joel. That's more,
yeah,
that's
and
closer.
Then the I get a laser puss. Beam right between the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, look.
Oh, God. This one, I don't know if I could read this one about Easy. Alex Perkins with the
sure Easy's not a cab driver down between Kima and Galveston.
You think
it's possible,
Roberto?
Yeah,
Easy.
Or Alberto, depending on his pseudoname.
Right. I really Alex Perkins. I really want to read yours because I think it's the best, but I don't want to.
Do you know you
level.
Can't say it? Or
no, it's. I mean, I know I can say it. It's just a mom joke, but it's pretty good. But I don't want to stoop to that level.
Well, you already teased it enough.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Easy drinks. Oh, Easy doesn't drink cider from the Dickens Company. Screwston checking
he
in.
He rubs it all over his body instead.
He bathes in
it's lotion.
He bathes in it. 409 has our back. See?
Okay,
you ain't popping if you ain't got haters. That's what I'm talking about, Joel. Embrace the hate, man. Like you gotta embrace that hate, and then people have no choice but to love you for it. That's not true. I just made all that up. I don't know if that's really true or not, but it could work. We'll make it work, right?
Sure.
No, it's phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Who's getting drunk today? Who knows?
Uh-huh.
So of all the things that didn't happen, because the Rockets were very kind of uneventful because they won.
Yeah. Like I said, I watched the first half.
Yeah.
I don't think I missed much by missing the second half. It was a blowout.
When Tyler Ennis is playing, you know that things are well in hand.
Indeed.
But I did really want, of the must-see TV, and I said I was a little disappointed in the Grammys, but one of my other must-see TV moments this weekend was I was looking forward to Durant Westbrook.
Right.
And Thunder Warriors.
Now.
And this is the first time that Golden State actually was playing on KD's old turf in OKC. The first two games of the four times they met or will meet this year were in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool. And there was a lot of rhetoric coming into it because of the fact supposedly KD's team of marketing people tried to rent out a very popular steakhouse in OKC that was trendy amongst the players, and the owner got a lot of pub for himself by saying, I turned him down because I'm a loyal Thunder fan. Russell still comes in here after games, so therefore I wouldn't let him rent it out. But if he wanted to come in and get a reservation and a table, I'd give it to him. But I basically took it in the shorts for $35,000 to be a Thunder fan and make sure I stayed loyal. Okay, whatever. KD ate there after the game anyway with several of his teammates, and Rachel Nichols got a picture of it.
And didn't they? Yeah, I was going to say, they ended up both going, and they sat like feet apart and never talked.
Well, I guess because Westbrook, they reserve a room for Westbrook.
Oh,
so
okay.
I guess it was close proximity, but there was definitely dividers involved.
Yeah.
But the one thing I was very pleased with, I thought this was going to be another disappointing, you know, what I was hoping for versus what I got, because KD's not a very confrontational guy, and he seems kind of soft in terms of, now I'm not going to say he's a cupcake, like everybody said during the game, but I will say that he just doesn't seem like to be the fighter.
Right.
But the fact that they actually had words, that there were a couple of extracurriculars on picks, that they got into it, did actually add more fuel to it. And I enjoy that in sports. That's the level of competition that I want to see when there are people that are scorned because of the way it all broke up and came to an end. It was fun to watch. It was definitely, that did not disappoint. And now it leads it up to the All-Star game, where they're going to be on the same team. And at some point, they're going to be in this. I mean, first of all, they're going to be in the same locker room. They're going to be in the same pictures. And at some point, they're probably going to be on the court at the same time. What are you going to do?
I'm going to pray for a fight. That's what I'm
like. Doc Rivers said when he coached the All-Star team, he would like definitely try to overplay and overplay up the positivity of their biggest arch enemies and also play them a lot of minutes because he felt like it was in their best interest. He encouraged Steve Kerr to do that. Steve Kerr came out later and said, well, I haven't really thought about it, but maybe this is a great way for everyone to reconcile and get together in the locker room. That ain't happening.
No.
Russ is not that type of guy, for one. But for two, because you don't know who you're going to see down the road, even if KD and Steve Kerr think that would be the swell and golly gosh darn best thing to do, Russ would basically say F that because he ain't doing it.
No. I mean, you could tell from the game when, because this was Saturday night, right? Was the
right.
game? So I'll admit, I watched the UFC fights and I didn't watch this or the Rockets. I recorded the Rockets and watched it later. But I did watch some of the highlights because I was interested in some of the on the field squabbles that took place. And why make them be friends or try to make them be friends for the All-Star game? If there's hate, just let them play with the hate. I mean, they don't have to be buddies or sit next to each other or any of that stuff.
That's what people don't understand.
And if he doesn't pass the ball when he's open or whatever, you know, if Westbrook doesn't dish to Durant, okay, that's going to make it more fun for me.
Sure, it adds more fodder to the rest of the season.
Otherwise, the game sucks. Who cares? I mean, watching a team put up 200 to 170, no one cares about that.
And here's the difference, right? When we say we're just talking about sports, it's not real life.
Right.
It's because we're just the media, Barry. But when you talk about them, it is real life.
That is their whole world.
Yeah, like, and their business world and everything else. And it was. And here's a question I wanted to throw as I was thinking about this, a question I wanted to throw to you guys anyway today. So if they go and they don't blow the 3-1 lead to Golden State, and they go on to at least appear in the finals, maybe even win it, we're not even talking about this because KD's still a member of the Thunder, in my opinion. I wanted to hear what you guys thought about that. I don't think there's any way KD leaves if they ended the season on a good note of one making it back to the finals, whether they won it or not, and eliminating the Warriors who had won 73 games and all the positives that they had. Because now you can say, like I've said all along, they're a superstar away from being the deepest team in the league. They've got a ton of talent. They just don't have that second guy that they've had forever. And if you go and say, well, we're locking up all these guys and KD and Russ are both back, we could do this again. I just don't think he leaves if they had just beaten Golden State.
I actually completely agree with you because I think it would have gave them more confidence going into the next year, beating a 73-win team.
Yeah.
But you never know how that would play out.
I don't know that I totally agree with you guys because ego is a hell of a thing. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, Westbrook, he's kind of always been in that shadow of
Durant.
He's
been Robin and he's always wanted to be Batman.
And he's wanted to be the guy.
Yep.
And he was always going to be that way. I mean, he's that way now regardless.
Let me throw this to you.
Okay.
Okay. So then is it safe to say that if that scenario had played out and they had beat the Warriors and at least gotten to the finals, KD wouldn't have left, but maybe Westbrook would have been the guy that
Now that I could see. Now that Westbrook going to
the Lakers,
rebuilding the Lakers. You know, yeah, any team that needed a superstar that didn't have one. Orlando. I mean, he could have gone anywhere. Not that it would have been a great idea for him, but
wherever there was money, he could have gone to be Batman.
Wherever there was money and need, he could have gone to be the man. And I think that would have been a more likely scenario indeed.
And then we would have been talking about Russ's first trip back to OKC.
But I bet you KD would not be as resentful as Russell is right now. I don't think he'd be as mad.
No way.
No, KD's just not that kind of guy.
He's
like, his mom is out there. Yeah, everybody, look, there is a lot of truth to the fact. Look at his body. He doesn't exactly scream enforcer, right?
No.
But he's a hell of a scorer, and he's a hell of a player. But to have his mom, I would have said, mom, that's just stop. Mom coming out saying, they were so mean to us. And then some of the things they were saying. And it's just, why aren't you being mean to my boy?
KD makes Corey Brewer look like Kevin Willis.
It's a good point. It's a very good point. And after KD's mom got involved, she fastened him back in his seat in the back.
Yeah.
And they drove off because practice was over for that day and they had to get home and eat dinner. Yeah. It's just, your mom doesn't need to, at a certain point, your mom doesn't need to be chiming in your battles. It's not a good look.
No. Very, very. Yeah. As a grown-ass man, like, if here's the thing. If my mom were to call me, like, let me tell you something easy on this show, I would jump out that window.
And at that point, when you mentioned that, you know, your mom needs to get a hold of herself easy, then Trey starts tweeting you, and then the fun begins because Trey understands you have a mom. And then it becomes fun and games, and Trey gets involved, too, and then it's all downhill from there. But great for us. All right, anyway, we've got much more show to get to. We've talked about a little of the NBA. We talked about the Rockets. A lot of you are chiming in on Twitter wanting to talk about where do the Rockets go from here and what are they going to do and who might be someone that they pursue. We can talk about that and a whole lot more. We are ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick, till 4, as we have much more. We continue to roll. As we're covering a lot of things, and you know what, Nick? I hate to be that guy.
Uh-oh. That's never good when it starts
Well,
that
because
way.
I always feel bad.
Now, don't take this the wrong way.
No, because I always feel bad. K-Mac and Trap both used to do it to Nick a lot.
Uh-oh.
Like the DJ thing.
Oh, boy.
And they used to, like, last minute have him play tunes that are hard to find. But let's start with this. Let's start with Rest in Peace to Quentin Moses, who was a University of Georgia lineman at one point, a Miami Dolphin, played, I think, 7 years in the NFL, passed away in a house fire, was a coach for the last couple of years at a small school and trying to make a difference. And for most people that you talk to that knew the guy, good dude, couldn't get out of a house fire. And that's always
that's terrible,
sad to hear. And what I was going to do to Nick that I'm not going to do to Nick was I was going to have him find an Al Jarreau song, which would have been either, oh man, there's Boogie Down, there, We're in This Love Together. He also sang the theme to Moonlighting. But Al Jarreau, the sultry, smooth jazz sounds, and of course, for Barry, also has a great hometown. But Al Jarreau, very well-known jazz singer from Milwaukee, passed away. And I'd seen him in concert several times. Really, really kind of, when you hear smooth jazz, you think of a voice like Al Jarreau.
Yep, I dig it.
And Al passed at 76 in Los Angeles, so sad to see that he no longer with us. And then on the flip side of people passing away, there's also this in, someone's going to be a daddy, and Glenn Davis is going to be an uncle.
Yay!
Glenn Davis, who somehow in the gene pool of life, ends up being the uncle of Hannah Davis, the Sports Illustrated model now Hannah Jeter.
You know, she is a really smart woman.
Amongst other things.
Just really smart. That's all, the only comment I have.
She has crystal blue eyes.
She has an amazing brain.
She has Derek Jeter's baby in her belly now.
Yeah.
It's going to be a girl. So she.
Oh, no. The payback.
The picture of Derek Jeter with the pink balloons. God. It's going to be a girl. Patrick Creighton is already cringing.
Can you imagine the fear that Derek Jeter has? Like, oh, God, I don't want
If my
her.
Daughter ever comes home with a gift basket with a signed ball in the middle of it,
I
am that guy.
Please don't let her end up on somebody's, like, tree. Because remember how they did the Derek Jeter, like, tree of hotness, all the chicks that he did? Oh, please don't let her end up on a tree somewhere.
That or a notch on someone's headboard.
Yeah. That would suck.
Yeah. Well,
I would not want to be.
Derek Jeter payback is coming because chances are that this kid is fairly decent looking.
No. No.
Hannah Davis and Derek Jeter together.
This baby is going to be ugly as sin. You watch. Let me tell you my theory behind this, Joel.
Okay, go
for it. I have many theories in my life.
Oh, I know.
This is one of them. And I've always felt like if you have two good looking people, and this is not 100% now. 90% of the time, two good-looking people are going to make an ugly baby. And two ugly people will inevitably make a good-looking kid, boy or girl. And again, it's not 100%, but about 90% of the time, it'll go the opposite way of what you would think. Now, when you get an ugly, like if you have an ugly dude and a hot chick, then it becomes a crapshoot. You don't know if it's going to be, you know, good or bad looking. But when it comes to, like, two uglies, nope, going to be hot. Two hot kids,
I know the 10%.
Two hot folks, going to have an ugly baby.
I know
that's how it goes.
I know the 10%.
No.
So, yes, I do.
Do you?
Yep.
What?
You said 90% comes out ugly.
Yeah.
I know the 10%.
I don't know.
Taylor's 16 or 17 months old now. She has crystal blue eyes, and most people think that she should already be modeling.
Really?
So I know the 10%.
Okay. I got
I'm
you.
Just saying.
Well, like I said, when it's mixed, when it's one
that was
when
easy.
When it's one good-looking person and one ugly one, like is the case with Lisa and you.
Don't call my wife names.
I said she was good-looking.
No, you did not say. You didn't specify. So there you go.
Well, it certainly wouldn't be you. I'm staring right at
for
you.
For sure. And the fact that you're staring means I've already mesmerized you with my looks.
No, it's that's my. And then one day I'll tell you my theory about how to tell a woman's true age with her, by looking at her elbows. That's
gonna,
a theory.
I thought you were going to say you were going to cut down trees.
No, this is it's another theory I have, Laura. If you can't really tell how old a chick is, like if you're like, man, like, just check their elbows.
That was always the thing that we
it's
heard
like
about
tire tread.
How old Dikembe and Akeem really were.
Look in their elbows?
Nope.
Well, what?
They used to say that when you're from Africa,
don't mess
I got to be
up.
Careful, but this
don't
is
mess
exact,
this up,
they
Joel.
Said when you were born in Africa, they plant a tree for you. And because the trees accurately based on when you cut a tree down, you can tell by the rings how old the tree is. That they always said you got to find Akeem and Dikembe's tree to find out how old they really are because someone inevitably always thought both of them were older than they were. And then you saw how, you know, like people still say Akeem could still play. And that was something that we had fun with a year ago. But then they say, hey, you got to find that tree because you don't know how old he really is.
Yeah. So they don't do that here, though.
No.
But you can't find, like, if you just see some chick, like, let's say you're walking around the Galleria.
You might as well finish it now.
I know. Let's say you're walking around the Galleria and you see some chick and you're like, oh, hey, how old is this chick? She might be, she looks young.
Based on what you're looking at, she's not 12 or 13, is she?
No, that's weird. That's creepy. I'm just talking
that's
about,
I'm
like,
saying.
I'm saying if you see a chick and you can't tell if she's 25 or 45. Because that happens sometimes where you're like, how old is it? Because especially nowadays, man, old ladies, these cougars are dressing young. Dude, check the elbows. The elbows are a dead giveaway.
The back of them?
Yeah. Just all you got to do is they'll be saggy. Like young girls have tight elbows. That's
their elbows
fact.
Look like
that's a fact.
Something about Mary's grandmother.
Yeah. Young girls have tight elbows. So if you check the elbows, that's the one thing you can't hide. You
got
can get,
that, Nick?
You can get the facelift. You can get the butt lifted. You can get the legs tightened. You can get cellulite removed. But no chick ever thinks to get the elbows tightened up. And that's where you can always tell if a chick is old or not.
Date
that's
a girl and ask her, like, so how do you think your elbows are going to look in 10
no,
years?
No, that's just when you get them on Tinder, just swipe right and then be like, yo, send me a picture of your elbows.
We got a lot in common, but until like, it gets warm enough for me to see your elbows, we should just be friends.
Yeah, hey, girl, you want to go on a tank top date? What? Be like, I just need to see them elbows.
I'm trying to think of what else besides, like, you want to go tanning or hang out by the pool or
hey, you want to go do something with short sleeves on? That's how you know. It's easy. You're welcome.
All right. So we got that going for us. And by the way, there's a team out there when we talk about the Rockets had two 10 game winning streaks this year. A lot of streaks have shown up this year and in the past where you say, wow, that's impressive. How about going for their 100th victory in a row. There's a team that's out there trying to do that tonight, and a lot of people are going to say, I don't care. But it is a story, and it's a pretty big story. We'll get to that.
Okay.
And what are we playing?
I don't know. What is that?
I don't know. I thought Freddy Krueger was coming or something. Or Jason.
I believe it's LinkedIn.
Who?
LinkedIn or Linkin Park? Linkin Park, my bad.
Oh.
LinkedIn.
Linkin Park's looking for work. They're now on LinkedIn. Yeah. All right. Well, we got much more show to go. Todd's chiming in from Clear Lake. Hopefully he's not a friend of Easy. And we'll get to that. Oh, he's got theories on women. All right, Todd, you're coming up next. We're going to hit you right after the break. Much more show to go. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So, in a topic that Barry loves more than anybody, I'd like to stick with the theme since Al Jarreau passed away. He's from Milwaukee, or was from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So was Latrell Sprewell. And Spree, who's had several issues with his neighbors recently because he throws his garbage on their lawn and he does things that he's not supposed to do. He got out of the city of beer and cheese and headed back to the Big Apple because I think in a move that James Dolan did just to try and kind of soothe things over with Knicks fans and pay homage to someone other than Charles Oakley from the Knicks past, had Spree sitting courtside with him for a huge win the other day. They beat the Spurs.
Yeah.
Which also does the Rockets some favors.
Yep.
But during a courtside interview, mind you, it's a courtside interview live during the course of a broadcast, but Spree had this to say about coming back to NYC.
Basically been back here since.
Well, I can't tell you why I haven't been back here, but I'll tell you, when I left, I was not happy. New York is like a second home for me. I love the fans here. The fans have embraced me, and there's no place like the Garden to play in. So, who wouldn't want to play in the Garden? So I was definitely disappointed, but, you know, I had fun in Minnesota, too. We had a good run there with KG and Sam and myself, so... you know, it's just the nature of the beast when you're, you know, an NBA player. You just have to deal with it. I'm just happy to be back now, though.
How did it come about that you were able to come back and sit with James Dolan?
Well, a guy named Jonathan, I've kept in touch with him over the years, and he worked his magic, and he was able to pull some strings and, you know, get me back. So, like I said, I'm just happy to be back.
What was it like for you to hear that applause and get this crowd on your side?
I mean, I'm at a loss for words, really. It's been so long since I've been back, and just to have that warm welcome is very much appreciated, and I can't say enough about the fan base here and how they supported me throughout my years here in New York. So, I mean, it's a great feeling.
So the guy named Jonathan, if I'm going to be I'm going to guess. The Knicks VP of PR, Jonathan Sopranowicz. Jonathan's the guy that issued the statement that said Oak needs to get the help that he needs. So I'm sure that Spree kept in touch with this guy, Jonathan, who kind of has the ear of the owner. And then they started thinking about, how do I look better after I had this debacle with one of the most beloved Knicks of the past? Scratch my temple, check with the owner. You guys are sitting courtside for the next game. And oh, by the way, next to you on the other side, Larry Johnson, grandmama, who... caught between a rock and a hard place, works for the Knicks, but loves Charles Oakley, played with him, and initially came to his defense and then went, but the bread is buttered over here.
It's so transparent.
I got to make this right, too.
Yeah, yeah, it's so transparent. I mean, it's obvious that this is just a PR stunt, right?
For sure. And here's the thing. We may really never get to the bottom of what really happened.
I totally agree. And I think that people should just move on, right? Yep. And just, I mean, but this just seems silly. I mean, this just seems, it's almost too obvious. Like, someone within the Knicks organization should have been like, at this meeting of, hey, we're going to bring in Larry Johnson, and we're going to bring in Latrell Sprewell, and we're going to sit him next to Dolan, and we're going to make a big deal out of it. Someone should have raised their hand and be like, guys, this is going to be pretty obvious.
Yeah, you don't think we should wait? People can figure this one out?
Yeah, we should wait, or you know what we should do is we should start off by bringing in other guests, and then then we could pop in Sprewell and it won't look like we planned that. I mean, something would have been way more intelligent than just, oh, look at us, we're making up a Sprewell.
Or do what a team does when they need to sell tickets, but it's also their 50th anniversary. Bring them back and during a quarter break.
Who are you talking about?
Introduce them on the court.
Those damn Mavs.
Yeah, introduce them on the court and then let the fans start chanting and cheering. And it's just one of those kind of feel-good moments where who just happened to be in town and we decided to bring a little attention to them.
See, the thing about PR people, they're so in tune with the whole damage control approach that they feel obligated, or if they feel like they have to have some sort of reactionary response. And really, in this case, this might be a case where you just let it go and it might be better off.
And
because
you've had a lot of experience with PR people, Nick, so I want you to preach because you're right. I agree with you.
I just think they felt like they had to react to it. They had to do something to make the organization not look as bad as it did in the dealings and the way they approached Charles Oakley.
But also take into consideration, just like that press release had James Dolan written all over it with just that parting shot at the end.
Yep.
Yeah. The ownership is always meddling in PR. And they always want to be involved, and their suggestions are always the ones that you should not take because they take it too far.
Right.
They have a point to a point, and then you need to cut them off and go, look, politically correct and otherwise from media scrutiny, we need to not go that far. We can go halfway up the staircase, but if we get to that top stair and say everything you want to say, we're going to start falling down the stairs pretty quickly, and when we tumble, it's going to be a hard fall.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that amazes me is it's like the spin so soon after.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, there's ways to do this and not look like you're trying to cover something.
Well, you're saying it dead on. It's too soon.
Yeah.
Just too soon. In a week or so. And don't try and bring attention with the national TV games coming up and all the other things you got going on. Look, play the Pacers on a Tuesday night. And start honoring John Starks.
Yeah.
And honoring Allen Houston. And then get to these guys.
Yeah. And then Sprewell can sit by you after that because he's probably also your security.
And again, because LJ threw his name in the middle of it
right
off the top and was kind of siding with Oakley at first, then realized, well, I'm still working for the Knicks. That was like the over-the-top icing on the cake.
Right.
That you didn't need. Because now it's just too painfully obvious. Oh, by the way, oh, how convenient. LJ's on the other side. You're sitting with Dolan. And everybody's chanting Spree.
What a joke, man.
That wasn't a complete setup.
I think I said this Sunday, but you just know the Boogie Cousins and the Kings are like, well, thank God for the Knicks. Because everyone was down on us for all the problems we had. Look at them. Those guys, they're a joke right now. That whole franchise is an absolute joke.
Speaking of that,
for the stuff we have going on in Houston and, say what you want about the Rockets, thank God it's not the Knicks.
Who would ever do that?
I don't know. By the way, Josh Rapp says he finds my theories to be fairly accurate. He's noticed those things well about the ugly baby. Cody via the text line said that I was asinine, that those are not plausible. And then Josh Rapp also said that the elbows are the true windows to the soul. So.
Or other things.
Yeah.
Depending on how you look at it and what you feel. All right. Hey, Todd and Clear Lake, before we get to another break, you want to get on Barry's theories on women as well. Todd, please don't just have that topic as a bluff. What's up?
How are we doing today, fellas?
Good, man. How you doing?
What's up, Todd? How's it going, man?
Excellent. Hey, I just want to preface the call by saying that you are fast becoming the number one sports talk show in Houston. I mean, this show is growing and growing. And the boundaries you cross and the different topics you hit on keep it entertaining, and you still find a way to get the sports in. And I just want more of Joel Berry and Travis at the same time. That's the only improvement I could see you making.
Appreciate that, Todd. So that preach on. What
and my elbows
in
are
stereo.
Crusty, by the way. What's that say about me?
What's that?
His elbows are crusty.
Are a little crusty. What's that say about me?
It means you're old.
It means that you're chafing and you're ashy. You just need to get some jerkins and slide it on your elbows.
I hope you're married or have a woman because it means you'll probably never get one now.
Todd, before we get to that, just remember, Trey has given you hope that asexual is not a bad thing, we found out today.
Well, all
right. Well, I know what Trey looks like, so I can see where he's coming from.
And remember, Boston had the song More Than a Feeling. If you don't have that feeling, you're asexual. It's just possible. All right, what do you got for us?
All right, real quick, I work in a steakhouse, and you can tell a hell of a lot about people by the way they order their steak. What temperature?
Yeah.
People that order rare or medium rare are usually type A personalities, risk takers, people who enjoy a cocktail or two with dinner, and they normally tip well.
Uh-huh.
People who order their steaks medium are normally accountants or engineers, medium to medium well. They play it safe. They tip what they're expected to, no more, no less. People that order their steaks well done are usually so wound tight and retentive or scared.
Todd, I'm really hating you right now.
To try anything.
Barry's loving you, and I'm hating you because Barry already knows that I grew up with a dad that was a cook in our family restaurant, but used to cook for us on the weekends when he was drunk. We had to eat everything well done, so now I have a tendency to get everything well done. So you're killing me. Barry's loving that.
And I'm a medium rare guy,
well,
Todd. This is perfect.
Stay out of a steakhouse, man. You can't eat steak well done.
I love it medium well.
You're such a liar.
I do. Medium well my steaks.
No, he's a well done.
Burgers like and stuff I like. Strip of pink.
What's that?
You only like a thin strip of pink. No blood.
Well, I just like it there. And I also like it well groomed. Yes. Todd, now before we let you go, I want to ask you another question. So if you had said steakhouse, I take it you're a Rockets fan?
I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm a Steelers fan, but we had no basketball, and I moved here in 92.
You're a Rockets fan. Okay. So if Dwight Howard calls and wants to reserve the steakhouse, and you're going to make about 35G for the night, you're taking that deal, right?
Well, yeah, I guess I am.
Regardless of if he orders it well done or not, you're taking that deal. Because you heard what happened in OKC, right? The guy that owns the steakhouse.
I heard about Durant. Now, if I was a Baltimore guy and Art Modell, or if I was a Cleveland guy and Art Modell wanted to rent out my steakhouse, for example, I'd tell him to go fly a kite.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Bud Adams comes through town. It's like, nah, bud, we're full. Thank you.
Exactly, Bud Adams.
But if John Manziel wanted to, you say... If John Manziel says, you say, no, you can't afford that because you don't have any more money, so you just need to save your money and go to Burger King in the drive-thru.
Exactly.
So what was it that you wanted to say real quick,
Blake? Yeah.
Oh,
quick question. Yeah. I don't hear any lip service to Hines Ward as a Hall of Famer. And 1,000 catches, over 10,000 yards, 86 touchdowns. And my point is, he played football the way it was meant to be played. Was there ever a better blocking wide receiver than Hines Ward, and that's something that's overlooked. Yeah. And I will hang up and listen, and thank you for the great show, guys.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate
the call. It, Todd.
There's no doubt. Illegal blocks that were brought with a heavy hand, Hines Ward, without question, is revered as one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver blockers of all time.
It's kind of like saying, like, when Bagwell, he always got credit for being a great base runner, which wasn't a big deal to a lot of people.
You're right.
But when you watched him, you thought, wow, okay, I get it now. And it's kind of like that. When you watch Hines Ward block downfield or block for a running back, then you kind of appreciate it more than just hearing the fact that Hines Ward was a good blocking receiver.
Yeah, teammates said he was the best base runner they ever played with. So that gives you something on that. You're absolutely right. Right now, I want to tell you guys about Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's a phenomenal program. It gives kids a second chance at an education and to make something of themselves when maybe the first time it didn't go so well. It's a great program, and it's all fueled by you. How, you ask? Well, if you got a clunker, working or not, a car, a motorcycle, a boat, RV, and you just want to get rid of it, you've been thinking about getting rid of it, it's a hassle, but it's an eyesore. They do all the work. You call them at 713-225-4226, or you log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. That's all you got to do. It doesn't mean, even if it's not working, it doesn't matter, because they're going to come with a tow truck. They're going to take it away. They're going to do all the paperwork. They're going to get you a nice tax deduction. And if you mention you heard it on ESPN 97.5, you also get a $50 gift card. On the flip side, they're going to take it and they're going to sell it, whether they break it down for parts or whatever they need to do. They're going to turn it into a financial gain so that they can kick it back into this Houston Cans Cars for Kids program, where kids can use it to get book money, hot meals, eyeglasses, bus passes, anything they need to make their second stint at getting a quality education more successful, easier to deal with, and more plausible for them to get a degree and or move forward and get that education. It's all run by you, and it's a successful program all because of you. And so I want you to please look around and see if you can stay involved. HoustonCarsForKids.com, 713-225-4226, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, one segment left to go. Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 p.m. as we continue to roll on. And before the break, we were talking, and did Todd ever get a theory on your theory?
I think it was the stakes. Was the theory.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, because the screen said he wanted to get in on your theory on the women. I said, we never talked about elbows, but I guess because we talked about your meat.
Yeah. Well.
Well, we did.
Now you've made it awkward.
Well, I could see you like with, I mean, you should have had your pom-poms the way you were cheering when the theory
Todd's,
was.
Todd's theory was dead on, though. Yeah. Medium rare and rare guys have it together. Those well done weirdos, we don't know what's going on with them. I have a couple texts I'd like to read. Someone did want to know, would Durant be taking this much heat if he had signed with the Spurs and not the Warriors?
And it wasn't El Jefe that's asked that?
No. Do you, what do you think?
Yeah, I think he's going to take heat. He would take this heat no matter where he went, as long as he didn't stay in OKC. I think small market scorned, it's going to be a lot worse than large market scorned, but definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think it wouldn't be as much. He would still catch some because it's a front runner in the Spurs, but I don't think it's the same. Like, going to Golden State was something a little more egregious, I think, to most people. Also, people just wanted to know, why no Melo to Houston talk? Is it a money thing? The texter said, I know he visited in free agency, but the Rockets were unable to make it happen. So why no talk about that? What are your thoughts?
Well, first and foremost, because he's looking more and more like a locker room cancer and a very selfish player. And right now, you just eliminated one of those issues when you got rid of Dwight Howard.
Yep.
So the fact that you're going to think about adding another one, it was probably a huge coup at the time that you didn't realize that he didn't sign or want to sign here in the first place.
Not only that, I don't know that he doesn't fit the scheme of what the Rockets would look for. I mean, he's a scorer, don't get me wrong, but the Rockets like to spread it out and everyone stand behind the three-point line. And
but
I don't know.
But he's selfish.
Yeah, well, that too.
So the fact You've that he's selfish one of those means, guys. Yeah, he's a high-volume scorer, but he's also a high-volume scorer when he looks off three open guys to take a contested three.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you don't need.
Yeah.
That's just like having a big man that wants the ball in the low post all the time but doesn't know what to do when he gets it. You ever seen that before?
What?
We'll turn the page. Never mind.
What? I got a text that says, my good friend Craig Orr collapsed at the finish line of the Chevron half marathon last month. He is still in a medically induced coma and fighting for his life right now. He has an amazing wife and two small children. Please mention the Prayers for Craig Orr page on Facebook and ask the listeners to share and like to bring awareness to this incredible man. He's also a diehard Houston sports fan and loves ESPN Radio. That was from Jared. So, Jared, I tell you what, we talked about it. I'm also going to tweet it, and I think Nick and Joel will retweet it, and we'll retweet it from the ESPN page as well.
I saw the story on the news.
Yeah.
His wife is a saint, and she's actually able to talk about it just because she wants awareness out there. And it is a very touching story, and it definitely needs attention. And it's something that, with great pleasure, I think we'll all make sure it gets out.
Yeah. So I'm at Barry is funny if you're out there and you're not following me. So I really this is important, man. We have to support our own in this town, and you know, with all the stuff that you see out there, the ridiculousness of some of the GoFundMes, this is someone that could actually use our help. So it's called the Craig Orr Benefit on Facebook. ORR Craig Orr Benefit, and I'm going to tweet it right now at Barry is funny. And then we'll retweet it. So show them some love. At least just share it. That's free. You don't even have to, you know, do anything, but at least help them spread the word would go a long ways. Then we got another text. Somebody said, what do you guys think is going to happen this year with the budding rivalry between Sebastian Vettel and Max Verstappen? And I'll tell you what, it all goes back to the Grand Prix in Hungary, but it kind of culminated to a head in the Mexico Grand Prix. And I really think that that's where – I think this will be the end of it, but you never know.
I'm with you 100%. Whatever you just said. And I totally had to read. I thought it was Dr. Dre, but okay.
No, I totally had
to. I thought cider was involved.
I was like, what the hell? Every once in a while, we get some random NASCAR question or Grand Prix question. So there you go. I have enlightened the masses on the rivalry that is between Sebastian Vettel and Max Verstappen.
There's certain things that I can assure listeners with this
show.
One of them is that may be the only time that we mention anything about the Grand Prix. Just as simple as I can be.
Grand Prix.
The Grand Prix.
I like it.
Yeah, that's about it. Hey, before we wrap up, I teased this, so I want to get to it. UConn women's basketball tonight going for their 100th straight win. I don't care what sport you're in and how long you've been in it. That's an impressive thing. especially because this year Gino Auriemma, who always gets like, who wouldn't want to play at UConn if you're a girls basketball player? This year he didn't have any preseason All-Americans. But I'm also going to say what I said in the break. This could be where the streak ends. Now, the longest streak before this, I think, was 91, also held by UConn. But this time, there's no stars, and the team they're playing tonight, South Carolina, coached by an ex-Houston Comet, Dawn Staley, sixth in the nation, they got some talent. So that could be more than people are given it to be in terms of a game. But for the love of sport, any time a team can win 100 straight games is pretty impressive.
It's always impressive, absolutely. Yeah.
And so because we're not because we believe in Title IX, we mentioned it.
Very good.
There you have it.
I got in a little bit of trouble over the weekend because this came up, and I was like, yeah, it's a little easier to do that. You'd never see that in men's sports because the talent pool is much deeper, and it's much harder to do. And I know that
I can see how you got in trouble a little bit.
Yeah, I can see the trouble part of it for sure.
Well, no, because there's – I mean, you think about it. I'm not saying there's not talent. I'm just saying that it doesn't go as deep. There are more teams that you only need one player to become a relevant and good team, right? In basketball. In college basketball, men's
and
women's.
You had bad intent when you said that.
No, men's and women's. This is what I was saying. In the women's, there's less of that top tier than you would find in the men's overall. And so there's less programs like Butler's of the world that can go and upset people that can stop a streak of 100.
And the other thing is, people have asked me, is it good or bad for the game? I think it's awful. I think
what 100?
No, just to win 100 in a row and not have any competition. They just continue to win.
Yeah.
I think it would be great if Pat Summitt's Tennessee teams of the past could be in the mix, and you could have a great Tennessee team and a great UConn team on a collision course. But I mean, Gino, and then people start saying Gino Auriemma should coach in the NBA or should coach on a men's, you know, no. NCAA Division I level. He may be okay, but. Look, he should stay right where he's at because he's got a hell of a thing going, and as long as he can cash in on that, he can cash out. All right, that was it for day one. Barry out day two, but then again, we are back with three in a row to finish the week. So stay strong, stay with us. Be like Todd because we love Todd. If you're like Todd, you're a winner in our book. The Blitz is next with Fred and AJ. Don't go anywhere. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.